This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Lord, I pray for the speaker. Lord, let me speak your word accurately, clearly, with simplicity, in the name of Jesus. Lord, for the hearers this morning, Lord, I pray that you will make every heart ready, even for that which you have prepared, in the name of Jesus. At the end of it all, Lord, let us all have one confession that we have had fellowship with you today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please put your hands together for the choir. Let's appreciate the choir. Hallelujah. Please keep clapping for them. Keep clapping for them. Encourage them. Encourage them. They need your encouragement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord will remember you for good in the name of Jesus. As you have honored them, God will raise men to honor you. In Jesus' name. Our theme for the month of August is Arise, Shine. Somebody say, Arise,
arise.
Shine.
Shine.
You will arise.
Amen.
And you will shine.
Amen.
Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to read the first three verses. Hallelujah. Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Somebody say, but. It says, it doesn't matter what's going on all around. It said, darkness and gross darkness may be upon the people, but concerning you, concerning me, the Lord shall arise upon thee.
Amen.
The Lord shall arise upon me.
Amen.
And his glory shall be seen upon you.
Amen.
So he's saying what God wants to do is not going to be hidden. It's not hide and seek. You know, he's saying, you don't know. God is really, really blessing me. No. This type is when the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, you have no place to hide. It is apparent to all. The Bible says when they saw the disciples, they called them Christ-like Christians, because they saw the manifestation of the glory of the Son of God upon their lives. The glory of God will be radiant upon your life in the name of Jesus. And verse 3 says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So shall it be for you. So shall it be for me. In the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, I want to talk to us on something that I've simply titled The Three Strategic People That You Need for Your Arising. Three strategic people you need for your arising. The word arise simply means get up or stand up. When you say get up or stand up, it means you were down to something before, and now you are arising to something totally different in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talked about the man that was crippled. Jesus prayed for him, and he said, rise up. And the man rose up and began to walk. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to the temple, they met this blind man, this crippled man, by the gate called Beautiful. They had seen him there time and time and time again. But this one time, they said, silver and gold we have not, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He arose from his lameness. He arose from his beggarly life. You will arise from where you are to a better life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And what I'm saying this morning is that for you to arise, there are certain people you need in your life. You know, when you look through the length and breadth of Scripture, One thing that is very, very clear and apparent in Scripture is that no man ever became great alone or by themselves. Nobody. In fact, when God created the earth and made everything so beautiful and created Adam and put him in the garden, God looked at him and said, this guy can't make it alone. He said, I will make a helpmate suitable for him. God made him Eve. You look at Moses. Moses had a Joshua that helped him one way or another. Amen? Everybody needs somebody. You need help. I need help. In fact, that's why in the church, the pastor is not alone. I have able ministers that are helping me carry on. I have workers in the church that are helping the church carry on its mission. Everybody needs somebody. There's a story in the Bible, I'm sure you know it, Naaman the leper. Amen? Naaman was a mighty man of war, but there was a but in his life. Every but in your life, the Lord will remove. In the name of Jesus. Say, I'm doing well, but... all is well, but if all is well, where is the but coming from? God will remove every but in your life. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes help comes from unexpected places. For Naaman, there was a slave girl, a Jewish slave girl in their household. Amen? And the slave girl said to the madam of the house, the mistress, the wife of the house, he said, ma'am, if only my Lord will go to the prophet in Samaria, I think his story will be different. He listened. He went. His story changed. Elijah had an Elisha. Daniel, if you remember the story of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the Bible says when the king had that dream and he forgot his dream, and he called all the wise men together, he said, tell me the dream that I forgot and tell me the interpretation of that dream. They said, oh king, no man has ever done this before, and no man can do it. When they came to Daniel and told Daniel that the king has decided to kill everybody, Daniel went back to the king. He said, what you have said is true. No man, these people, what they say is true. Nobody, it has never happened before. He said, but there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a God in heaven that knows and can interpret secret things. He said, give us a few days. We will come back to you. Daniel did not go it alone. Daniel went to meet his homies, his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody that is trying to go it alone cannot go far in life. You can accomplish some things, but you cannot accomplish anything great. Hallelujah. Everybody needs somebody. Even Jesus had 12 disciples. What's wrong with you? Why do you think he would do it alone? Jesus had 12. He had 12 disciples. So this morning, what I want to do is to show you from Scripture three strategic people that can help you get to where you need to get to in life. Ushers, please do me a favor. From the corner of my eye, I saw somebody in the kitchen. When the sermon is going on, I don't care what it is. I don't care about cake. I don't care about any kind of thing. This is the reason why we're in church. Hallelujah. So, I want to help you see three strategic people that you need to begin to pray about, that God will bring into your life. Friends, there are people in this life that God has positioned to help you get to where you need to get to. I liken life to a jigsaw puzzle. How many of us know jigsaw puzzle? You know, you have the 100 pieces, 50 pieces, you have 200 pieces, and then the very difficult one, 500 pieces. It's like life is like a jigsaw puzzle. Your life. As an individual. And those pieces of the puzzle, some of them have been placed in the hands of other people. And every day, as you go about places, you meet people. They are handing you the puzzle, the piece of that puzzle of your life. As long as everybody keeps releasing to you the piece of the puzzle of your life, By the time you have everything together, you have arisen and your life is beautiful. Men will look at you and say, what a beautiful life. Men will look at you and say, what a glorious life. Men will begin to ask you that, what is the secret of your success? And you can point them back to Jesus. Today, I prophesy under this unction that every piece of the puzzle of your life that is in other hands, they will release to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever they are, you will find them, they will find you. And they will release your peace to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The problem is that some people meet those people, and because of their own problem, because they don't recognize who is before them, the person refuses to release the puzzle. But that will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus. The first category I would like to talk about today, I know I'm just giving them headings as I feel is appropriate. Whatever heading is appropriate for you, you can give it. But know that there's three groups I want to share with you this morning. The number one group are those that will validate you. Those that will validate you. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I won't be able to read everything. I'll just take bits and pieces very quickly. But you know the story in verse 26, from verse 26 to about the 38th verse, the Bible says, the angel appeared to Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel appeared to her and told her certain unbelievable things. The angel said to her that you are going to be with a child. You are going to have a baby. She was not married. She had been espoused or engaged to a man to be married, but not yet married. Back in those days, if you married, in fact, what they do on the wedding night, there's a special piece of cloth, white cloth, that they put on the bed. So that when the man and the woman meets together, and the woman, you know, is a virgin at this point, you know, of course, the bed will be stained with blood and all of these things. So they bring the napkin out and they wave it. Yay! She's a good daughter. She did not mess up the family name. And the ones that mess up family name, there's consequence. But that's not what we're talking about today. Amen? So, the angel said to her, I know you are a virgin, but you're going to have a child. And this is her response to the angel. Verse 31. Okay, that's the angel speaking. Let's read from where the angel started speaking. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. May you find favor with God. Yeah. And behold, like Pastor Joyce told us earlier, behold, they will behold you. In the name of, he said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he goes on, it shall be this, it shall be that. Then verse 34, Mary said to the angel, he said, shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This is a very important question. Because earlier in the same chapter, a man asked a similar question in verse 18, Zechariah. Zechariah asked a similar question. Zechariah said unto the angel, when the angel announced to him he was going to have a child, Zechariah responded, he said, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the Bible says the angel struck him with dumbness. He said, this one, he keeps yapping like this, he will destroy the miracle. You have to pray to God to put a lock on your lips, so that you don't use your own mouth, your own words, to destroy what God is doing in your life. Very important. What's the difference between his response and the response of Mary? Listen close. Mary said, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? Her question was a righteous question. It was not a question about the ability of God. The question of Zechariah was casting aspersion on the ability of God. He said, my body is old. Which power will make this body perform again? That man knew himself. You know, we can look at him and judge him, but he knew himself. He knew he was not getting it on with his wife anymore. Hello, somebody. He knew nothing was happening. He said, where will that thing come from? I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. We are not doing the thing again. How will she get pregnant? But little did he know that the power of God has the ability to do all things. But Mary's response was appropriate. She's saying, I'm a virtuous woman. I'm a virgin. How can this thing be that God is not an unrighteous God? That's all she was saying. Say, God is not unrighteous. But it happened as the angel had said. She became pregnant. That's not the whole story. You know the rest of the story. She became pregnant. But where am I going with this today? Many of us are pregnant with ideas and visions that you yourself, everybody you have spoken to, they look at you as crazy. Amen? Because like Mary, Mary was a teenager. Imagine a teenage girl coming to the parent to say, I am pregnant and it's the Holy Spirit. You see the way you laugh? If the mother is from where I'm from, she will not smile. She will give her a dirty slap. Only God will help her if she didn't lose some teeth. Say, what? You are blaspheming against God. Blasphemous. What was happening to her was a miraculous thing. What she was carrying was unique and different. But who will believe her? Who will believe her story? Many of you, God has given you great ideas. Everybody you have spoken to date, they have looked at you and called you crazy. Say, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this? But the good thing for Mary, when the angel told her what was about to happen to her, the angel also told her, your aunt is going through a similar thing. Immediately that happened to her, guess what? She didn't consult with anybody. She went straight to Elizabeth, the only person that can understand what she was going through. Do you know there are people that can understand that vision that you are carrying right now? Yes, a lot of people don't understand it because they cannot. How many of you know the story of Bill Gates? If you don't, let me just give you a summarized version. Bill Gates had a very good friend called Paul Allen. They went to high school together. And after they finished high school, Allen went to Washington State University. Gates went to Harvard University. Allen, because of the vision that he had inside of him, he couldn't take it anymore. He dropped out of university. He said, because I am carrying something that needs expression. And going to school is not helping this thing. In fact, the teachers don't understand what I'm talking about. Why? Because what I have does not exist. Hallelujah. But he needed somebody that understood what he was talking about. So he called his friend, Gates. And they talked about this thing. And he convinced Bill Gates to drop out of Harvard University. Bill Gates today is worth about $78 billion. Paul Allen is worth about $17 billion. What is inside of you is great. Many of you, you have killed it because nobody understands it. But what I'm telling you today is you need a validator. Somebody that understands what is going on inside of you. When you meet that person, and that person releases that puzzle that is in their hand onto you. Your success cannot be described in the name of Jesus. You need an Elizabeth that will validate your life. Many people today are running from pillar to post. You know what you are seeking? Somebody to validate you. But nobody understands you. Do you know there are some people, every church they have been to, they have been a thorn in everybody's flesh. You know why? Nobody understands them. it does not necessarily make you a bad person. But you will meet your validator.
Yeah.
I say God will send your validator your way.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Very quickly, number two. Everybody needs somebody. Can you preach that to your neighbor? Everybody needs somebody. May God send you your validator. When you meet your validator, you have no choice. You will arise. You will arise. From the moment Allen and Gates came together and formed Microsoft as we know it today, their life took off. Their life what? It took off. It took off. Another example of this in scripture is David and Jonathan. Jonathan recognized that this thing in this guy, it's real. Even though my father is the king and I'm the heir apparent to the throne, but I recognize that God is with this man. I will walk with this man. But he didn't walk all the way. You know, human being. He's afraid of his dad. He wanted to follow. He didn't want to follow. But he died. You will not die.
Amen.
I say you will not die.
Amen.
You will give full expression to the gifts and the potentials of God inside of you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Very quickly, the second kind of person you need in your life is what I call a guide or a director or, for lack of a better word, a kingmaker. A kingmaker. You know the story of King Saul? Let's go to, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 9. In verse 2, listen to this. In verse 2, the Bible gives us Saul's resume. The resume of Saul. Verse 2. It says, and he, this is talking about his father, that Kish had a son whose name was Saul. A choice man. Somebody say choice man. A goodly man, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the person. He said, Saul was a dude. He was a dude. A dude. He was the man. Where's the man? Where's Brother Ayo? I see everybody turning around. Where's that tall dude? Listen. What the scripture is saying there is Saul was a man that was equipped for success, but instead of him pursuing the life vision that God has for him, he's running around looking for lost donkeys. I want to say to somebody this morning that unfortunately, the devil has given you an assignment and you are obliging him. You are obliging him. This dude, the Bible says the best guy in the whole nation. The best guy. I mean, he said there was no goodlier person. That's by King James English. No better person. No better person in the land than him. But he was a mama's boy. He was still sitting at home, eating bread and butter, and saying life is good. When you read verse 1, the Bible tells us that his dad was a boxed-up guy. Let's read verse 1. He said, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of a mighty man of power. Very influential dad he had. So he's at home enjoying. He's a handsome guy. Foolishness. Foolishness. You know what you can liken that to today? It's like you are likening a man that is full of resources that is satisfied with making peanuts. Bill Gates and his friend Allen, Paul Allen, they knew what was on their inside. They said, I cannot work for any man anymore. I have to face this dream. I have to face this vision. I'm sure they suffered. But today, especially us believers, we don't want suffering. Ah, no, My God, Jehovah correct. Jehovah no shaking. Jehovah sharp, sharp. Jehovah no problem. You have keep on living. Keep on living. Keep on living. Jehovah sharp, sharp. Jehovah correct. Jehovah easy going. Okay. 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 I'm sure you know better now. I'm sure you know better now. But Saul can be likened to a man that has all the skills in this world. Went to medical school, studied medicine, has the doctor of medicine license, but is in a strange land and cannot practice his medicine yet. Somebody say yet.
Yes.
Because your time is coming. In the name of Jesus. He's told us how some odd jobs he did in the beginning just to get things together. And the odd job he was doing there, what he was making in a year is what he makes in a month now. Hallelujah. I'm telling somebody this morning, please wake up. Look at your neighbor, say wake up.
Wake up.
I say wake up. Awake, awake, awake. My sister, I like the way you are doing it. Give them a jab. Say, awake, 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 awake. Awake, 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 awake. There is more in you than meets the eyes. There is more in you than meets the eyes. There is more inside of you than meets the eyes. Guess what? This guy, with all his resume, verse 2, tall, handsome, nobody goodlier, he's the one looking for donkeys all over the place. And when you read his story, maybe we should read it. Maybe we should read it. Let's read verse 4. I'm very conscious of time. Let's read verse 4. This is Saul now. This is Saul. Let's start from 3. He said, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with you and arise. And go seek the asses. Listen. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. And they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return home. Lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. When you look at the life of Saul, not only did he have those physical attributes, you could tell that Saul was a diligent man. Saul was not a lazy man. He wasn't. He was a diligent and faithful guy. The father told him, go look for the asses, and he went all over. He was crisscrossing the whole nation. Going from the tribe of Benjamin to the tribe of Ephraim, all across, he traversed the whole place. Why? Because he could not imagine himself going back home and say, I have failed. He was a guy that would give everything. Brethren, these are the kind of people God is looking for. Oh, God is not looking for lazy people that would just, they want to cross their leg at home and then be trusting God. Father, in the name of Jesus, keep on fathering. That's not who God is looking for. This guy is diligent, consistent, faithful. He went all over the place when he convinced himself that this cannot be found. He said, I will go back home. Not because he was tired of searching. He said, because I know my father. By now, he's not worried about the donkeys anymore. He's worried about us. Thoughtful guy. Thoughtful guy. No wonder God chose him. God will choose you. I say, God will choose you. In the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, like Pastor Joyce was telling us earlier on today, she said, reading the scripture, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God will make all things about you new.
Amen.
Even if you were not diligent before, from now going forward, you'll be diligent.
Yeah.
Even if you were inconsistent before now, from now going forward, you'll be consistent.
Yeah.
If you were not faithful before, unreliable, from today, you'll become reliable and faithful.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He went looking all over the place, couldn't find anything. At the point he was about giving up, God spoke through his servant to him. He said, there's a man of God in this city. He said, let's go consult with the man. And he agreed, went to the man. You know, many of us, don't let me say many of us, many people, that's better. Thank you. A lot of people, if their servant is giving them advice, say, who are you? Shut your mouth right there. Who is talking and you are talking? You are even speaking out of order. If I don't give you permission to speak, you don't speak. But he listened to the servant. And he said something very crucial that gave me a window into the heart of Saul. Saul said, he said, how can we go to the man of God empty-handed? How can we go meet the man of God and not take a gift with us? He said, I don't have any money. He was even broke. God will change your story.
Yeah.
Okay. The amen is good, but it can be better. So God will change my story. So he took a loan from his servant. He said, okay, give me what you have. Let's go give to the man of God. Brethren, there are some of us, you have never given your pastor anything ever. But you have come for counseling, you have come for prayer. And you have testimony. You know it. You know, in church, when things are going well, it's because of what individuals are doing. When things are going bad, I don't know if our pastor is praying. So when things are going well, your pastor was not, it's not because of your pastor's prayer that things are going well. Go and try other places. Listen to this. They went to see the prophet. The prophet, Samuel, is one of those key people you need in your life. People that will give direction to your life. The moment he appeared before Samuel, the first thing Samuel said to him, he said, by the way, the donkeys you're looking for have been found. That is to say, all your effort running around, you are wasting your life. He's saying, now you can settle down because God has a plan for your life. Stop running around. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, this is what is moving market now. Oh, let me do this now. Oh, is this or that? You're just running all over the place. Helter-skelter for nothing. At the end of the day, you sit down, you say, what have I even accomplished? Nothing. But you are tired. You are tired. Your bills are still not paid. In spite of all the everything, all the running, is still a shortage. Ends are still not meeting. Bills are still not being paid. Why? Because the enemy gave you an assignment, and unfortunately, you didn't realize you were running an errand for the devil. Wow. Kept you busy. 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 Oh, bro, we didn't see you. Hey, it's work. Hey, sis, we didn't see you. Oh, it's work. Even the children are beginning to ask, what does my daddy look like again? Or who is really my mommy? Because daycare and attendance, different people are the one. They don't even know. The children are confused. God will put order in your life. God will restore you. I say God will restore you. And it will give your life focus. It will give your life direction. In the name of Jesus. Listen to this. Listen, listen, listen. The kingmaker in your life is the one that will refocus your attention and redirect your vision. You may not like it because you like looking around for donkeys. It will tell you, stop that thing and come here. This is where the answer is. You may not like what you have been told, but that is where your solution is. It has never been heard before in Israel that there was a king. So when Samuel was saying he's anointing him king, it was an unheard of philosophy, thought, imagination. Never happened before. Never happened before. So if it was going by precedence, there's no precedence for it. No precedence. Because God is doing a new thing. The Lord will do a new thing in your life. I said the Lord will do a new thing in your life. It will bring order and focus into your life situation. In the name of Jesus. You need a Samuel. You need a Samuel. And Samuel anointed him king, and from that day he became king. But listen to this and listen close. The problem with a kingmaker is their words are very potent. Very, very potent. The same one that said you are now king told him one day, he said, today the kingdom is taken away from you. The problem with a lot of people, they have met their kingmaker. Their kingmaker has brought them to position of influence and preeminence, but then they now look down on the kingmaker. They say, what are you? Who are you to tell me what to do? I forget that thing, man. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Bible says Saul went to battle with the army. He's now king. He's no longer a loser looking for lost donkeys anymore. He's now the king. They went to battle. And before they could advance into battle, they needed to make a sacrifice. And they waited. Somebody say they waited. And waited. And waited. First day. Second day. Third. Fourth. Fifth. Sixth. Seventh. The prophet didn't come. Saul said, you know what? Is it not to kill animal? Bring the animal. He killed the animal. As soon as he did the sacrifice, the prophet showed up. Let me read that to you. I want you to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 12. Verse 12. This is Saul speaking to Samuel. He's speaking to the kingmaker, the director. He said, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I have not made the sacrifice, made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore. Is that in your Bible? Am I making it up? I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. When you begin to take things upon yourself and you ignore your kingmaker, you say, oh, no. The prophet doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, he prophesied that this will happen, but no, this is professional matter now. We are going to war. It's professional matter. And that was the beginning of his downfall. He died before his time. He wasted the kingdom. The kingdom that should have passed on to his children. The Bible says, this day, there was a story of the Amalekites. He messed up there too. And when he was accosted in chapter 14, the Bible says, he said to the prophet, he said, just appear before me with me before the people. As long as I look good in front of the people, it doesn't matter what you think. Saul said, no. And Samuel said, no, it's not going to be. As Samuel was trying to leave, how could you grab somebody's... let me grab my wife's. How do you grab somebody's garment and he rips in two? Can you imagine the force? Uh-huh. He just reached out for them and said, where do you think you are going? Very rude. Nincompu. Nincompu. Grabbed him, ripped it. He said, you see how this garment is rent? He said, the kingdom is taken away from me. That was the end of the story of Saul. God will send you your kingmaker. Many of you already have your kingmaker. When you meet your kingmaker, honor them. Honor them. Lastly, and I'm totally out of time. I'm very passionate about this. Lastly, we're going to talk about the presenter. Somebody say presenter. Presenter. The presenter is the one that will give you their political capital. That is why in politics, endorsement is very big. All they are saying is give me your political capital. This is also true in profession. You know, the very fact that people see you next to somebody and the person is talking to you familiarly one-on-one, in their mind, they already form an image about you. If people that know you, all of a sudden, they see a picture of you and Obama eating dinner, you post it on Facebook. They will say, Wale. You know the president and you have not helped me in all my suffering. You know the president. Ah, you are a wicked man. No? You are a wicked. In your buruku near. You are not a good person. You know, what those people do for you, they may not give you money, but they are giving you their goodwill. They are giving you your goodwill. They are giving you their goodwill. You know, just that somebody is standing by you. Standing by you. You use their name. You say, I'm such and such with such and such. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Many people, the favor they have shown you is because of somebody else's political capital. It's not because of his. Say, everybody just likes me. Oh, be deceiving yourself. Wait until your presenter says, I reject you. Then you will see how, if that man can say he doesn't like you anymore, something is wrong about your life. They walk away. Listen. You need a presenter. There's a man in the scriptures named John the Baptist.
My God.
We all know John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist was a man that was revered by the Jewish scholars. In fact, I used three words to describe John the Baptist here. I said wild, weird, and fierce. In Matthew chapter 3, let's read very quickly. Matthew 3 from verse 1. He said, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locust, weird, and wild honest, wild man. Then went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Listen, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, someone says Sadducee, very sad, Pharisee, looking very forlorn and miserable. When he saw many of them come to his baptism, listen to what he said. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John the Baptist was a notable prophet. Everybody accepted him as a prophet from God. They believed his message was true. They were very afraid of him. In fact, like they did Jesus, they didn't try it with John the Baptist. They were very, very afraid of him. In fact, in John chapter 1, let's read it very quickly as I begin to wrap up now. In John chapter 1, when you read from verse 19, the Bible says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests, verse 19, sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? It was such a mystery to them because they have never seen a prophet like this before. You know, Jesus said before John the Baptist, there has never been such a prophet. Never, never. He's the greatest of them all. So no wonder they were enamored. Amen? They were in awe of him. So they said, well, maybe it's this man. He said, let's quit guessing. Let's go ask him, who are you? Who are thou? Listen. Who are thou? And he said, and denied not, but confessed, I am not Christ. Your presenter is not your competitor. Your presenter is not your competitor. It could be a senior professional colleague. Someone that has gone ahead of you. Someone that clearly knows better than you. That's your presenter. And when they... come. When they decide in their wisdom that they are going to take a walk, stand right here, down the street with their arm on your shoulder, they are not saying anything to anybody. They are just walking down the street with you. Everybody is seeing them with you. Everybody is recognizing that this is your homie. What they are saying is, I approve him. I approve of him. I know him. I validate him. I present him to you. John the Baptist, they asked him, the Bible says, are you the Christ? The Bible says, he said clearly to them, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ. Look at Luke 3. Luke 3, I believe the 15th verse. Luke 3. In Luke 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and as the people were in expectation, look at that. As the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. You know, if it were some other men, they would take that glory for themselves. Because everybody, the Bible says, their eyes, you know, it's like you are watching a movie, it's gotten to a crescendo. You know, I know there's an awkward silence. And everybody's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's going to happen? Is he going to die? Is he going to make it? And then they begin to play those crazy music. And then your heart is pounding as the drum is rolling. You understand what I'm saying? And you're looking. When it mattered the most, he still did not take the glory to himself. You know why? He was a forerunner. My God. Your presenter is not threatened by your success. In John chapter 5, the Bible says they came back to John and they told him, they said, the man that came to you beyond Jordan, the one that you baptized, they want to incense him against Jesus. They said, the one you baptized, do you know he's now baptizing people? And many people are following him. He said, that is true. He said, he may increase that I may decrease that he may increase. Your presenter is not in a struggle with you. It's God sent and God given. May God send you a presenter. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. A presenter has gone ahead of you and has prepared the way for you. Jesus had only 3.5 years to do what he had to do. And that is why he needed a forerunner to go soften the ground. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, as Jesus came, he declared to all of them. He said, look at him, the one I told you that the sandals of his shoes I cannot lace. This is it. This is the Christ. He presented them. He presented him to them. Do you know that some of his disciples immediately they decamped. They said, well, you have tried. You said this is the one that is to come. You have come. You are done. We follow him. They follow Jesus. And it was not a problem for John. It was not a problem for John. May God send you your validator. Amen. May God send you your director, kingmaker. Amen. May God send you your presenter. Amen. Why don't you rise to your feet this morning? Please lift up both hands to heaven. Listen to me. For these three things to happen, righteousness is the number one thing. Remember Mary. Mary's point was righteousness. Remember Saul. He was good in the beginning. Remember John the Baptist. His message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Lift up both hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I present my life to you. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. Enough of running around. Enough of helter-skelter. Enough of doing an errand for the enemy. From today, I dedicate my life to your service. I dedicate my life to follow you. In the name of Jesus, why don't you go ahead and pray and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I will follow you all the days of my life. I will do your will. I will do your bidding. I will follow you. I will follow you. In the name of Jesus, I repent. I repent of all my foolishness. I repent today. In the name of Jesus, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The Bible says God is the one that giveth wealth and addeth no sorrow to it. It's not struggle. It's not. In fact, the one that works the hardest is the one that is not the one that gets the most money. Go and check it in any organization. The ones that are doing physical labor, no. The ones that are drinking tea or coffee in the office and crossing leg and browsing the internet and signing paper, those are the ones that make the real money. I want you to pray this one. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, position me for my validator, for my director, for my presenter. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Say, Father, it is my season. It's my time to arise. Daddy, position me for my validator. Position me for my director. Position me, oh Lord, even for my presenter. In the name of Jesus. Le karada bo shantalia. Epokata. Ye pa ye karagada. Ye kanderegede. Ye prorogoshe galaba. Ye kalaba koragada. Ye karada gadagada. In the name of Jesus. Position me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I know this for a fact because the Holy Spirit just spoke it to my heart. There are some of you that have questions. Talk to me afterwards. Make an appointment. Not after service. After service is always busy. You won't have my full attention. Make an appointment. We can talk about this. The Holy Spirit is saying that some of you, you have beaten the fingers that fed you. God has given you a validator. God has given you a director. God had given you a presenter, but you had stabbed them in the back. You beat the hands that fed you. I want you to repent. Say, Lord, I am sorry. God is merciful. God is merciful. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And God will touch their heart. God will appease them. The remaining puzzle in their hands, they will release to you. But you must repent. You must repent. You must repent. You must repent. Ke satalia bakoro dogodo. Zeka takata. Rerabu. Jantalia ragada. Ye karodo bo shakatalia ragadagada. Ye kosta ia banderegede. Mercy, O Lord. Mercy, O Lord. Mercy, O Lord. Mercy, King of Kings. Mercy, Lord of Lords. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. The Lord will have mercy on you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, I give you praise. Lord, every time you give a word, it's because you are ready to do something about it. Lord, I pray over this congregation today. Lord, as many as are laboring and sweating, Lord, you did not create us for labor and sweat. Lord, that is the curse, the curse in the garden. Say, by your sweat you will live. My God and my Father, let your grace, the Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be made abundantly available upon every life. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will settle you. In the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, King of Glory. I give you praise and I give you glory. Be thou exalted.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.